Thanks for joining us today at Renovatus, a church for liars, dreamers, and misfits. More information about Renovatus can be found at www.renovatuschurch.com.
Good morning, Renovatus. This is one of those rare Sundays when I don't have the opportunity to be with you. I'm actually preaching for a dear friend of mine in New York City this morning, but I didn't want to miss the opportunity to share just a bit with you about what's in store in the next few moments. I'm so excited about what God's doing in our church through World Missions right now. It's been an exciting year already. The partnership in particular that we have with the Church of God in India is just opening up some extraordinary doors for us right now. And there's so many ways that you can get connected in tangible, concrete ways to the global harvest, to this great, beautiful kingdom work that God is accomplishing all throughout the world. As many of you know, my father, Dr. Ronald Martin, came on staff a few months ago to be our World Missions pastor, which has just been a remarkable gift to our community already. My father comes with such rich and diverse experience. As I was growing up, he was a pastor for about 15 years. He was the president of East Coast Bible College. For the last 16 years, he served as an administrative bishop for the Church of God, really all over the country. But at this point in his life and ministry, he's now a World Missions representative. So full-time, he travels all around the country and around the globe, raising money and support for missionaries, doing all sorts of just extraordinary things. But in addition to that, he serves in a volunteer capacity as our missions pastor here at Renovatus. So in the next few moments, Dad is going to be coming to bring a word to you. I want him to share his heart, both about global missions and also just whatever he felt like the Lord gave him to share for you this morning. But I do hope that you will especially tune in and just be really attentive and sensitive to what you feel like the Holy Spirit would lay on your heart in terms of how he wants you to invest in this global work. We are a church that believes so strongly in the Great Commission, that command of Jesus that we make disciples in all the nations, that we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that Christ has commanded to us. Every believer, every person within our community shares something of the weight and burden of that calling. So I really think what you'll hear in the next few moments is going to motivate you and inspire you to seek the Lord and to be open to the Spirit of God to know exactly where and how you're supposed to invest. But in the meantime, it is such an honor for me. You know, we often say that we're our grandmother's church. What a great manifestation of that I actually get to work with my father in ministry right here at Renovatus. I know that you love him. I, of course, call him the White James Earl Jones. He's got an extraordinary voice. He's got extraordinary wisdom. But most of all, he has such a great heart for God and such a great heart for you. So without any further ado, I want to welcome to the stage my father, Dr. Ronald Martin. Would you give him a warm Renovatus welcome and let him know just how much you love him?
Thank you. And what extraordinary gift of exaggeration he has. He is a Pentecostal preacher, and Pentecostal preachers exaggerate. I wasn't an AB or administrative bishop for 16 years. It was 14 years. But it's been an exciting journey. So good to see all of you this morning, and what energy there is in this room in worship today. I believe you come to worship God, and that feels good. And it is indeed such a joy and pleasure for me to have this opportunity to share with you in worship and in the Word today. I know that you're probably disappointed that Pastor is not here because he is your favorite. He is my favorite. But he's somewhere else today, so this is as good as it gets. He is very intelligent. He got that from me. I don't have any left. He's very good looking. He got that from me. I don't have any left. He's very gifted, and he got that from God. well educated. I paid for it. What he didn't get in scholarships, I paid for. So, no, I don't preach like him. I don't look like him. We are father and son, but a lot of differences. However, though I may not be like him in a lot of ways, I did have a part in bringing him into the world. And I can also help take him out. Wow, I've already done the 9 o'clock service, and this is hard on an old fat man. Linda finally drug in over here. We've been babysitting, keeping Sybil this weekend, and she had to do all that this morning, so Grammy finally made it. And we're just so excited. Now, obviously, you know, Pastor usually uses the Countryman mic, but Vic asked me this morning which I preferred. I said, give me the handheld. Old-fashioned Pentecostal preachers use handheld microphones, Brother John. I will do my best to restrain from the aha. I do a lot of traveling. In fact, the last 3 months... It's not this way every month, but the last 3 months, I've traveled between 3,000 and 4,000 miles each month. And especially if I'm traveling by myself and it's on a Sunday afternoon, I try to do something to keep me awake and alert and entertained. So what I like to do is turn on AM radio on Sunday afternoon and just sort of scan the dial. And I love to come across these... local radio preachers on Sunday afternoon. They're coming from a town of 2,000 people and they come on and say, hello world. And they are the aha preachers. One of my favorites, this has been some years ago, I was playing around on the dial and came across this aha preacher. And apparently he didn't care too much for Church of Christ people. Now, I think there's some good Church of Christ people, so I'm not down on Church of Christ, okay? I believe there's some good folks there that's going to make it. Probably some there that won't make it. Probably some folk in the Church of God that won't make it. But he didn't care for Church of Christ. And he said, aha, Jesus went over onto the shore of the Gadarenes, aha. And there he met a man dwelling among the tombs, aha, that was possessed of many devils, aha. And he cast those devils out of that man, aha. And they went into the swine that was nearby, aha. And those swine went down into the sea, aha. And they came up on the other side and stuck up a sign and said, Church of Christ meets here. Well, I just about lost it that day. I just about had to pull over to the side of the road. I was laughing so hard I couldn't see to drive. But I'll try not to give you any ahas this morning. As Pastor's already said, I am serving under appointment of the Church of God now as a world missions representative. I have been in ministry now for 48 years this coming July. 45 of those years, this beautiful lady over here has been following me. And I must tell you, I believe what I am doing right now, I'm having the most fun I've ever had in all of my life. I love to travel. Just got back from Colorado this week. And come back to this beautiful spring weather there. On Saturday night, what was normally about a 5.5 hour drive, took me 7 hours, and we had daylight saving time working against us, and I drove across several passes in 8-degree temperatures and snowpack on the road. But I love it. And God willing, it looks like in the next 10 months, I'll be doing at least 4 international trips. And I am just filled with such excitement and enthusiasm for what God is allowing me to be a part of in these latter days of my ministry. And it just keeps a fire built under me. So I am thrilled about what I'm doing. For 30 years, I did administrative work in the Church of God, and somebody's got to do it. But thank God it's no longer me. And thank God the buck no longer stops at my desk, and I can just be involved in the harvest. And I am loving it. Today, obviously, you see the flags and decorations. This is our actual official launch day for Renovatus Global. Now, we are excited about that. We've already been formulating some things. Renovatus is now 7 years old, but has never really had a lot of structure with regards to globalization and world evangelization. But God is helping us to put some things together. We don't have everything together yet today that we wish we had together and want to get together, but it's coming. And this coming Wednesday night, I want to invite you to meet us in the dust room at 7 o'clock. Anybody is welcome to come. Pastor Jonathan will be with us and will be sharing his vision for the global harvest for Renovatus. And together we're going to be exploring other things that we're going to be doing. We already have a number of people who are representing Renovatus around the world. Are we ready to put that up on the screen? Somewhere it'll be there. There it is. Now, we don't have all of the names. We had intended today to have photographs and some information. I don't know why it happened, but we don't have John and Barb Hines on there. Right here, hold your hand up, John and Barb. They're serving with Wycliffe and have been on the mission field for many, many years. But these are some of the ones, we cannot give you specific locations because of where they're serving. It would not be good for their health. You understand? They might have throat trouble. It might get cut. And so we cannot give specific locations. But you'll find these on the church website under our part of the website. I want to encourage you to support them. This morning we are going to receive an offering that will help us to put together a program that is going to help support those who are representing missions from Renovatus, as well as our primary project that you have already heard about in India. And we want you to especially pray for these people. We're going to be talking about a lot of these things Wednesday night. Out in the foyer, we have an exhibit today. I encourage you to go by. There's a lot of free material. And also, if you have not filled it out, we would invite you to fill out a form so we can put you in our database and just contact you. We're not going to be soliciting money. We're not going to pull any tricks with you. If you'd like to be a part of the globalization of Renovatus, we would like for you to go by and fill that out. Kathy Beebe will be there. Stand up, Kathy. I think most everybody probably knows who you are, but Kathy is volunteering as my administrative assistant, and I already don't know what I would do without her. I just shift a lot of stuff on to her. and she is doing an incredible job. So be sure to go by and visit the booth today and get us your information. Let's see, is that all I needed to say about those kinds of things? I'm just visiting a little bit right now, but we're going to get you out of here on time today. You know, don't get excited. Pastor gave me some pretty clear instructions about 9 o'clock that we needed to be in communion by 10:20, and we were in communion by 10:20. So I'm doing good today, folks. Didn't this praise team do an incredible job today? Wow. Awesome. I love it. I love the new stuff. I love the old stuff. See, I like antiques because I are one. And I like all the stuff that's in between. So I just enjoy. But there is an old hymn of the church that has just been resounding in my spirit for the last several days, and I just got to get it out of my system today, if I may. And so we're not going to do any musical accompaniment. It's an old song. If you know it, I want you to help me. This praise team has already been leading us in exalting God and worshiping Him and lifting Him up. So if you know this, help me. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall, hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred at His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting throng and crown Him Lord of all. Would you give Him praise all over this place? All hail the power of Jesus' name. A lot of people get all excited talking about the crowns they're going to get when they get to heaven, but I believe if we get any, we're just going to be casting them at His feet, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor, adoration, dominion and power, both now and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to give your attention to the screen now for a video presentation of a moment from one of our International General Assemblies that I believe is one of the most impacting videos I have ever seen, that really tells why we do what we are doing in world evangelization.
From the oil fields of the Middle East to the killing fields of Cambodia, the Church of God moves its forces into the harvest fields of the world. God is opening doors, and our efforts are producing fruit. Meet Myung. Myung grew up in a small village near the historical killing fields of Cambodia. Today, he is 24 years old, but until 5 years ago, he had never heard the name Jesus. You see, Myung grew up as a Buddhist. His parents were poor farmers working the land just for enough food to survive. As a young boy, Myung was left at home by himself during the day to work in the garden, to look after the animals, to bring fresh water to the household, and attend to his studies. While conflict raged around him, fear was his companion as he and the other village children went about their schoolwork. It was common for him to see the soldiers burn huts and mistreat the townspeople. In hopes of finding a better life, Myung turned to the Buddhist temple for shelter and security. Upon his arrival, the senior monk received Myung into the temple and closed the door behind him for what would be the next 8 years of his life.
As a young boy, I was so afraid that whatever they asked me to do, I just do it. And I was so scared because I'm just there and I just obey.
While there, he learned the ways of Buddha and soon became an ordained monk. The older monks taught Myung how to pray to Buddha and worship idols in hopes of finding peace, truth, and security in this life. One day on the way to the market, Myung met Ernie Conti, a Filipino missionary and graduate of the Church of God Asian Seminary for Christian Ministries in Manila, Philippines. Brother Conti asked if he could take a photo with Myung. This would be his open door to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. After taking the picture, Brother Conti began to share the gospel and ask if he could pray with Myung. The prayer was the sinner's prayer of repentance. As Myung thought about this prayer and studied the gospel tract he had been given, the presence of the Lord began to deal with him and speak truth to his heart. It was then Myung made the decision to give his life to Jesus Christ.
I was taught to worship, to pray to Buddha, and to bow down to the man-made images and just worship that Buddha. All my prayers never answered. I never heard of answering prayer. But since I turned to Christ and I have personal relationship with Him, all my prayers are answered.
Brother Conti stayed in contact with Myung for the next year. It was during this time Myung became aware of God's call upon his life and his need to know more of the ways of God. The door was soon open for Myung to enroll as a theology student at ASCM. And for the past 3 years, he has been honing his skills and preparing himself for a life in Christian witness and ministry. Myung will graduate soon and return to Cambodia, where he feels God has called him to share the gospel with his own people.
It is a miracle, and I'm so thankful for that, that there was somebody come and told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. If those missionaries hadn't told me, I wouldn't know about Him. And I must go back to Cambodia and tell Cambodians about the Lord Jesus Christ also. Jesus Christ, He's the only one, the living God, the way, the truth, and the life.
I want you to join me and welcome from Cambodia, Myung.
Thank you.
Like my father, my ancestors, I used to worship idols that's man-made and pray to Buddha. But now, I rejoice! Worship the living God! And preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ! Hallelujah!
Give God a hand of praise for the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Christ. It changes lives. Can somebody say amen? Did you realize in the roughly hour and a half that we'll be in this worship service today that nearly 20 people somewhere in the world will be martyred for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Some 460 people every day, 365 days a year. There are more martyrs for the cause of Christ now than in all of the centuries leading up to now. And we are a privileged people to join together in this open place of worship with those of like precious faith and in one mind, in one accord, in one place, openly worship and praise and magnify Jesus. What a blessed people we are. I'm envious. Brian, I heard that the other week you ran around the church. I wish I had been here. Pastor said he was almost ready. I don't get almost ready. I'll stay ready. I'd have been right with you, buddy. If you want to do it today, we'll try it out. You see, I'm just a little old-fashioned Pentecostal. And I'm a Popeye man. I just yam what I yam. Over 7 billion people in the world today. And according to Pew Research, only about 2 billion of those are Christian. Only about 35%. But while that news sounds a little bleak, let me also tell you that every day in the country of China, there are more than 36,000 people a day coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Every day on the continent of Africa, 24,000 people every day are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we are behind. In fact, I looked up the global population time clock last night, and I discovered that just yesterday, there were over 360,000 births in this world. There were 153,000 deaths somewhere in the world yesterday, which means that there was a net growth of 206,000 people added to the population of the world yesterday. And that happens every day. But like a mighty army, we are pressing forward. Now, the Church of God is just a small part. In fact, through Church of God World Missions, we know that every time the clock ticks a minute, somewhere 2 people are saved. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every minute, 2 people are coming to Jesus Christ. 6 churches are being planted somewhere outside of the United States of America every day. And we are privileged to be a part of that. Renovatus, pastor, selected our banner that we'll be marching under and that is Renovatus Global. Now, we've had, again, some things going on and individuals that are representing Renovatus around the world in various areas of ministry, but now we are coming together, and I believe we're going to come together with a greater force than ever before. It's not just what about happens in these four walls. It's not even about what happens in your community, though all of that is wonderful. But we have got to go into all of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so privileged. I haven't come today to give you a sob story. I haven't come today to pull on your heartstrings. I've come today to share with you a great vision. And in sharing that vision, I have in my hand the Holy Bible. But this book is especially meaningful because this is a very old and well-worn Bible that belonged to Margaret Gaines, missionary to the Arab people. She gave this to our family just a few months ago, and I keep it open in my office at all times. Margaret Gaines, if you've been a part of Renovatus very long, you know of her at least, is one of the greatest women, as far as I am concerned, to ever live on planet Earth. For some 60 years, she has been a missionary of the gospel. She's now 81 years old. She can no longer serve on foreign soil because of such failing health. Linda talks to her probably every week. Just last week, she's now pastoring a little church of about 20 people in Pell City, Alabama, and can hardly go. Last week, somebody had to help her get to church. But she went anyhow and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the most dedicated people sitting at her feet to me is as near as sitting at the feet of Jesus of anyone I would possibly imagine. So I'm using her Bible today to bring the word of the Lord. The three passages of Scripture I want us to just look at real quickly. Two of them are found in the Gospel according to Luke, one in Matthew, and then the real heart of the message will also come from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, though we'll not read that chapter. I will be talking with you about that chapter. Would you bow with me in a moment of prayer? Father, I thank you for the liberty of the Holy Spirit that I sense in this room today. For the worship that has gone up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that you are inhabiting our praise. Now I ask that you would anoint this vessel of clay that I might speak the word of the living God. And anoint this people to hear and to receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus is speaking. And he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, he then says, go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. First of all, Jesus says that he has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But then he says to you and me that we have a responsibility to also go to those that are lost and seek them and find them and bring them in that his house may be full. You know, a lot of times I hear people testify or share their testimony, and they say, I'm so glad that I found the Lord. Well, I didn't know he was lost, but I was lost, and he searched for me. He looked for me, and he found me. And then the cornerstone of all world evangelization that you probably know very well, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus again is speaking. He does not give a suggestion here. He gives a command. And he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or the end of the world." Now you notice I have used the King James Version today. They asked me in the office this week what translation we would use. I said, "Well, there's only one, isn't there?" It was good enough for Paul and Silas, so it's good enough for me. Amen. When I was serving in administrative work in the Church of God, I went to a church one time to try to get a pastor in, and I was entertaining questions, and someone asked me, "What translation of the Bible does he use?" And I said, "Well, of course, it's King James Version. Good enough for Paul and Silas. Surely it's good enough for me and you." I knew I was in trouble when nobody laughed. I didn't get him in either. Seeking and saving that which is lost. Going into the highways and hedges and seeking for the lost. Luke chapter 15 is a chapter of lost things. Jesus gives three parables of things that are lost in this chapter. The first parable is the parable of a sheep that is lost. A shepherd has 100 sheep. 99 of them are safe in the fold, but one has wandered and strayed and is lost. And at that moment, guess which sheep was most important to the shepherd? The one that was lost. He goes out into the night. He goes into the storm. He goes out on the craggy cliffs. He puts himself in harm's way and he searches with diligence until he finds this sheep that is lost. Compassionately, he places him on his shoulders and he brings him back into the sheepfold and he calls for all of the other shepherds and says, "Come and join with me and let's celebrate, let's have a party because my sheep that was lost has been found. He is a precious possession, but now he's back safely and it's time to celebrate." Secondly, Jesus gives the parable of a lost coin. Now, this is not just any coin. This is a valuable coin. This coin equated to at least a year's wages at that time. It was very significant, very valuable, very precious, and it's lost. The lady who lost it, I see her in my mind as she goes through her house, turning up the lamplight, sweeping out the crevices and the corners, rolling up the rugs, moving the furniture. She searches with diligence everywhere until she finds this coin, and then she comes out into the streets of her neighborhood and calls out to her neighbors and says, "Everybody come and rejoice with me because the year's wage that I lost, it was precious. It has been found, and it is time for great rejoicing." The third parable that Jesus gives, you probably are especially acquainted with. It's the parable of the lost son. A father had two sons. One of them harassed his father until his father, no doubt against his better judgment, finally said, "Okay, I'm going to give you your part of the inheritance now." And so he gives him his part of the inheritance as the son has pleaded for. And the son goes out and he spends all of his inheritance, the Bible said, on riotous living. While living, while women, parties, living it up. And as long as he had money, He had friends. As someone has said, when you do that kind of thing, you will go further than you ever intended to go. And you will stay longer than you ever intended to stay. And you will pay more than you ever intended to pay. And that's exactly what he did. He wakes up one day and he finds himself in a hog pen. He's a Jew. He despises hogs. He's now living in a hog pen. He doesn't have anywhere to sleep but in a hog pen. He doesn't have anything to eat but the same stuff that the hogs are eating. And he comes to himself and he says, how many of my father's house, they're hired servants and they have plenty to eat. They have clothes to wear. They have warm beds. They have a roof over their head. And here I am. I am a part of my father's house and I'm living in this hog pen. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me as one of your hired servants. Again, in my spiritual mind, I've seen this son as he gets up, he brushes himself off, and he starts home. I see a long, dusty driveway, and I see a father that has been looking for this son, that has been praying for him, that has spent sleepless nights over his lost son. And he recognizes him while he's yet a great way off. And he runs to him and he falls upon his neck. And the son begins his rehearsed speech. And while he's in the middle of this rehearsal of this speech, the father says, stop. And he turns back to the house and he says, kill the fatted calf. Get ready. We're going to have a banquet. We're going to have a party. Bring a robe and put it on my boy. While you're at it, bring a ring. Now, this wasn't a ring of decoration. This was a signet ring. This ring said, you're a part of the family. You can do business for the family. They had a great party. They had a great celebration because this son that was lost is found. Your pastor, my son and my pastor, he'll be 35 years old in a few days. But when he was about 4 years old, his mom and I and my mother, my father was already going on to be with the Lord. We're at the beach in North Carolina one summer, one fall. And I loved to play in the water. And I would take Jonathan out into the waves until it was up to my neck. And he and I would ride the waves and have such fun. And you know how the tide will carry you. And it had carried us up the seafront quite a ways. And after a while, we swam into the shore. And we started walking back down the beach toward where my mother and Linda were in some lawn chairs sitting on the beachfront. Very carelessly, I must admit, I'm just walking along in about ankle-deep water, kicking at the waves and looking for seashells. And in a little while, I look around and I realize that Jonathan is nowhere to be seen. He's gone. And I thought, well, he's probably just run on down the beachfront and he'll get to where Mom and Linda are and everything will be fine. And so I picked up my pace a little bit and got on to where Linda and Mother were, and they had not seen him. Now, if you're a parent, you know what that does to you. Suddenly, Linda and I both were seized with panic. I thought, well, he's probably meandering around somewhere back up the direction from whence we came. And so I turned and started going back in that direction. Linda would later tell that she ran out to the street that was nearby and started running into the restaurants and stores and businesses, calling out his name and He's nowhere to be found. She comes back to the seafront, and she starts running in the other direction. Now, you got to understand, there were thousands of people on this seafront. And she's running as hard as she can run. And she tells later, she said, I had run till I felt like I could not run anymore. Was totally given out. And she said, a great way off in the distance, I saw Jonathan. I recognized him. And she said, I called out to another man. I said, that's my little boy. Would you run and get him? The gentleman ran and got Jonathan and brought him back to Linda. After a while, she gets him back to where my mom and I are. Now, I've got to tell you that when she got him back up there, I took my hand and I beat the living daylights out of him. And I said, don't you ever scare me like this again. Don't you ever do anything like this again. No, that's not what I did. Let me tell you what I did. I got down in the sand right where he was. And I wrapped him up in my arms, and he put his little arms around my neck. And with tears coursing down my face, I kissed on him, and I loved him because my little boy, 4 years old, was lost, and he's now found. Now, I learned something that day. Let me tell you what I learned. Jonathan did not mean to be running away from us. But somewhere along the way, Jonathan realized that he was lost. And so realizing that he is lost, he just starts to run. He doesn't realize he's running away. He's just running. He doesn't know anything else to do. The lesson I learned that day is that lost people run. Perhaps you have a companion, a mother, a father, a son or a daughter, a sister or a brother, a family member, a friend, a colleague. And you have witnessed to them, and you've invited them to church, and you have prayed for them, and you've done everything you know to do, and you get frustrated, and you say, why can't I get them to come to church? Why can't I reach them? Let me tell you why. They are lost, and they are running. They don't realize they're running away. They're just running. That's the reason. In India, they are running to over 340 million gods because they're lost and they're just looking for something to fulfill and satisfy them. That's the reason all around this world, there are 5 million people that are lost, and they're running to Buddha. And they're running to every other kind of God that you can name or imagine because they are just lost. That's the reason in America we have so many gods. Oh, they're not idols. We sit up on a shelf. But it's the God that we call our job or our automobile or so many other things that we just hold so precious and important to us that really does not matter because people are just lost and people are just running. Do you know somebody that is lost? Is there somebody in your acquaintance or somebody in your family that is lost? If you know somebody that's lost, I want you for the next couple of moments to focus in on them. Bring their face up before you. Bring their name to mind. In a moment, I'm going to pray. And at a given moment in that prayer, I'm going to ask you to shout their name out to God. Now, God already knows who they are. But I want us to have a corporate prayer here this morning for people that are running, people that are lost. Do you have that name? Do you have that face? It may be two or three. And when I give you the cue, I don't want you just to speak the name. I want you to shout the name out. Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, I thank you for amazing grace that sought me and found me and so many others in this room. And I thank you today, Heavenly Father, that even when we are running away, you are looking for us and you are running after us because you're a God of love and compassion and mercy. And Father, in a moment, we're going to lift up hundreds of names to you. God, I'm not going to tell people today if they'll give $1,000 that their loved one will get saved, because we cannot buy their salvation. You've already paid for it. But we do know that through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of prayer, that you seek and you save that which is lost. So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we prepare to cry those names out to you. If you know somebody that's lost, I want you to lift your hand and I want you to shout their name out right now to God. Shout it out. Do it again. Shout it out. One more time. Shout it out. God, I don't know these people, but you know them. I don't know where they are, but you know where they are. And I pray, I sense your Holy Spirit right now, Father. I pray that your Holy Spirit will go to them right now wherever they are and convict them and draw them into your compassionate arms of love and mercy and grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. And amen. Do you know what is worse than being lost? Being lost and no one looking for you. What is worse than being lost? Being lost and nobody looking for you. So I ask the question today, is anybody listening? Does anybody care? Several years ago, I watched the movie Schindler's List. I was in Ohio a couple of weeks ago and went to my room that night and was channel surfing and came across the movie again and decided, well, I'll watch it again. A movie produced by Steven Spielberg, one of the most gripping, sobering movies I've ever seen. It is the story of a man by the name of Schindler. He's not necessarily a good man. He's a womanizer. He's an adulterer. He's ruthless. He loves to make money. He spends money wildly. But somehow his heart is touched by the plight of 6 million Jews that are headed for the gas chamber. He cannot save them all, but he devises a plan through his wealth and his factory. And by the end of the war, he has saved between 1,100 and 1,200 people. He's penniless. He's broke. He has nothing left. He has spent it all trying to save people. The last 3.5 minutes of that movie are some of the most gripping that I've ever seen. And I want you to watch it now as we prepare to close.
Mm-hmm. Hebrew from the Talmud that says whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
No idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Kurt, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people.